You're listening to Seminary Dropout, and I'm your host, Shane Blackshear. In cooperation with MissioAlliance.org, straight from my house in Austin, Texas to yours, interviews with leading Christian authors, leaders, and thinkers, because good theology should be for everyone. This is Seminary Dropout. Let's go! Hey everybody, want to remind you that Seminary Dropout is always listener supported, but this episode is also supported by Fresh Expressions. If you don't know about Fresh Expressions, listen to this episode, but also check out freshexpressionsus.org, and then also check out their national gathering coming up called Steeple the Street at steeplethestreet.org. Fantastic organization, so happy to partner with them. Check out this interview. My guest, Dr. Alvarez, is originally from Cuba and has been in the U.S. since 2001. He's planted 3 Hispanic churches in Kentucky in the past 10 years. Currently, Dr. Alvarez serves as senior pastor for Fuente de Avivamiento, or Spring of Revival, with 400-plus members in 100 home churches. Dr. Alvarez has the honor to train leaders nationwide on how to plant churches and develop church culture and processes to make disciples. Dr. Alvarez pastors along with his wife, Zulaine Alvarez, who supports and helps him in carrying the vision to the future generations. Dr. Alvarez, thanks for being with me.
Yes, sir.
I mentioned in your bio that you're originally from Cuba. I'm curious about your life in Cuba and what brought you to the States.
Well, as you mentioned, I went to school in Cuba, became a doctor, a veterinarian doctor in Cuba at the age of 23. So I came to Christ at the age of 27. So life was fun and good. However, I had this emptiness that I could not fulfill, even though I was doing and fulfilling and doing my dream, which is being a doctor, working on the most and very important places, and having my own opportunities to be a surgeon, because that was my passion, surgery, as a veterinarian doctor, working with surgery and teams and doing all of that. And even though I was doing that, I had no fulfillment. So I started looking beyond what I was seeing, only to meet Christ. And then after that, everything changed. And coming to the United States, my dream of coming to the United States really shifted, because I was coming to the United States just for the American dream, having a big house, one dog, 2 kids, a new car, going to church on Sunday, and that's it. But, God has a big scissor in heaven. So when you finish with your selfish dreams, he changed everything. And then I became a church planter when I saw the need in the United States with the United Methodist Church. I joined the team with the United Methodist Church and started planting churches and making disciples nonstop until today.
You said you became a Christ follower when you were in veterinarian school in Cuba. Was that through a church there?
Yes, through the Methodist Church in Cuba. So I graduated 1997. With 23 years old, and I came to Christ after that in 2001, August 4th, 2001.
Like I said, in your intro, you planted 3 Hispanic churches. Church planting is not for the faint of heart. Had you had ministry experience before you started planting?
I came from Cuba. I was only 4 months in Christ. And when I came to the United States, December 5th, 2001, I just went to the Methodist Church here in the United States to learn English. But when I got there, I knew more English than the people there. So they asked me, help. And I said, okay. So I started helping the Hispanic people. And then the Hispanic people said to me, hey, we want to learn more, and I see what you do and your faith. Can you teach us a little bit? I said, okay. Teach us a Bible study, or give us a Bible study. And I said, okay. So I only knew a Bible study that I did in Cuba before coming to the United States. It's called ABC, Spiritual ABC, something like that. in six classes, six very simple classes. So when they asked me for that, when I did that, I just teach them those six simple classes. And then they said to me, why you don't have a service on Sunday and you preach for us? I said, okay. And then I preached the same six classes because I didn't know anything else. So I preached what I taught them. And before I knew, a church was born, church was full, people coming to Christ, people wanted to be baptized. I was only 7 months in Christ when I did that. That was the first church. And that's why I believe with all my heart that there is no such a thing as you need to wait to graduate from seminary, or you need to wait until you go through discipleship, 101, 102, 103, and then you go. I really believe that we need to harness the first love in the new believer, because that's the most powerful secret weapon that God has to bring transformation to a community. A believer full with the first love. And if we harness that, anything can happen. I was only 7 months in Christ, and this is why my ministry, I challenged people from the very beginning to plant house churches, and we are doing it very successfully because of that.
You've just very recently published a book called Growing Multicultural Churches. It's kind of almost a report on a study you did. You looked at predominantly Hispanic churches, and you found that, or rather maybe the problem that had you undertake the book was that these church plants were having a really hard time growing to over 50 people. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And that's a problem that we have not only with the Hispanic church, but we have that also at least within the United Methodist Church. Most of the churches are stuck in that barrier of 50 or 60 people or less in the United States.
And so what did you find out in that study?
Well, I did that. That's part of my doctorate study. I just graduated last year, 2017 May, for my doctorate in Asbury Seminary. So I did my dissertation on church growth and multicultural churches, church growth. And what are the factors that impact growth in multicultural churches? So what I found, we have like many, many factors, but after the study is done, you have a summary of the most powerful, the most important factors that really impact growth. One was discipleship. So if the church is not doing discipleship, have a discipleship process to take people from A to B, from B to C, like a very intentional, not intuitive discipleship, but intentional discipleship. If you have that a factor that impacts growth, positive or negative. If you don't have it, you will be impacted by that. The other one that we had was context. You need to understand your context. You cannot have your own idea of what a church is and go to a seminar and then come back and thinking that you're going to plant an urban church in the middle of nowhere in rural Kentucky. So you have to have your context defined, the good, the ugly, and the bad, very clear, your internal context, your external context, your demographics. That's very important, not only in terms of number, but actually meeting people, going to the streets where people are, what is good, what good news means for them, what is good news for that context. Not what you want, or what you have, or the idea of the perfect church that you have in your mind, but what is good news for that people. So context is very important, and you have urban context or rural context. Or multicultural context. So what context are you addressing? So context was a very strong one. Another one was the instability and the fact that people are moving a lot. There's no commitment anymore to long-term commitments. Like my father used to work for a company for 10, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 3 years. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. People change jobs like changing clothes in the morning. You know, it's very, they move so fast, everything is moving, they don't have long-term commitment. So we have to move faster. So if you have a discipleship process that lasts 2 years to send somebody, guess what? You're not sending anyone because people are moving before 2 years. So you really have to be more aggressive, more intentional, and training people real fast, using instability in your favor instead of against you. And that means it's a missional approach, a missional vision, just sending people all over the place. My people move a lot. So now we're training them. When they say, oh, I'm going back to to Mexico, I'm going back to Guatemala, or I'm going back to the next city or the next state where they are paying better, I send them. I don't say goodbye to them. I send them. And we start new house churches in those places, or new churches in Mexico, in Guatemala, in Honduras, where they go back. So they are not going back anymore just for this, for the sake of family, but they are going back as missionaries, sent with a mission. And that changed everything else, you know. So another one was leadership. And again, we go back to intentional leadership development, not intuitive. Most of the places leaders are formed or trained just by intuition. I mean, they have been there forever. They went to seminary and we assume they are leaders because they went to seminary or because they have been there forever. Because the pastor loved me and I loved them, and they have been long-term committed members, and they become automatic leaders just because they have been there forever. That's not the way of doing church in the 21st century. We really have to focus in intentional leadership development. And the last one was this balance between temple and houses, and the fact that the church of the 21st century is a handicapped church in terms that we are only focused. We are either focused only in temples, or we go to the extreme and say no temples, house churches. And what you see in the book of Acts is a balance between the two. So you have temples and you have house churches, and the reason is because you have to have a ministry in your church, and that means being a servant, being a priest, but you also have to have a mission in the world, and that's the missional community and the missional impact. And when you take houses away of your ministry and your church, then you are just surrendering your presence in the community, and you are not in the community anymore. So you are just now inside of a church singing Kumbaya, Jesus Come, and while people in the streets are shooting each other and homesick and dead, and you know, all the problems that we have in society today. So we really need to create that balance and send people out to exercise the gifting and graces for the Lord. And that's what the Holy Spirit has been really speaking to my heart. So many people many people are dying, so many people are passing away without the opportunity to exercise their gifting, because we have a way of doing church where only one person is doing everything, and then we go to multi-site where I stream myself into five or six videos, cameras around five sites, and then nobody else is preaching, only me, while everybody's looking at me, and the gifting of the people are just there. I mean, could I really have a parable about that? You know, he gives you gift and grace for you to use, but we are not like the leadership of the church. We are going to be held responsible, you know, because we are not releasing people to use the gift and grace that God gave them, that God have given to them, and they have dreams, and God has dreams for them, and a place in ministry, but we are not releasing them. So all those factors, all those things are really, you know, a reality today. And I don't know if that answered your question, but that's what, in a nutshell, 4 years of research.
Well, thanks for boiling that down for us. You know, I think there are so many churches that think discipleship is going to happen organically, that it's going to happen through maybe just through sermons or a midweek group or a small group in a home or something like that. And what I hear you saying is that it takes something a lot more purposeful and maybe a little bit more systematic than that to truly disciple people.
Yes. Yes, sir. Well, you know, it's the influence in America. Remember, I'm Cuban, so that's good and bad. You know, there is some good things and bad things about being Cuban in the United States. The limiting factor is that I'm not an American. I will never be an American, and I will be for the years to come, I will be learning your culture, and that's a limit. I don't care how many books I read, I don't care how many years I spend here, I will always be learning your culture and growing. Now, the good part is that I also bring good stuff with me, that from my own culture, you know, and that means that there is a huge influence in America, you know, from this Greek mindset, of this Greek way of doing ministry, or and not only in ministry, but also in education. You know, this Greek philosophy way of education, and that means downloading information to people, download information. Well, in Cuba and the Eastern world, all those places, it's more, you know, experiential. You have to really work with people. I have to show you who I am. You have to work with me. You know, it's not about teaching you a class about marriage. You have to, I have to give you access to my life for you as a disciple to see me, how I do marriage. That's what brings transformation. I cannot teach you a class on finances, and I am an expert, and I teach you everything, a software, how to do it, a budget, but then I don't show you my own finances. So that doesn't make a disciple. That just make a student, you know? And this, you know, I think this, we need to modeling, this modeling factor is missing. So it cannot happen organically. You have to really be intentional and intuitive. And by intuitive means organic, what you just mentioned, organic discipleship, just letting happen, you know, by the grace of God. And that happened, you know, God loves us so much that he will make disciples regardless we do. But when we do it intentionally, we have traction. You know, that's my point.
So you're going to be one of the keynote presenters at Fresh Expressions this year, the gathering on March 15th through 17th.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to bring at that talk?
Well, we have two events. One is a pre-event. The now that you're mentioning, I want to make sure people see that you. There is a pre-event to talk about Fresh Expression in Spanish. We call it Expresiones Divinas, which is a Fresh Expression approach to the Hispanic population. We have 55 million Hispanics in the United States, and we're not doing very good work reaching them, and many of the cultures too. But we want to focus on Fresh Expression in the Hispanic world, because Fresh Expression is a very powerful approach to kingdom and very inexpensive. And we have been praying for an inexpensive way to do ministry. Based on the demographic that we're going to serve, which is the Hispanic community, low income, low education, and all of that. So we have a pre-event, which is March 12th and 13th. That will be the pre-event, and then we go to the main event. In the main event, we're going to be talking about leadership led by the Spirit. So it's like, you know, how the role of the Holy Spirit in leadership and leading people, how, you know, the importance of understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in leadership. And that would be one of the main subjects. And the other subject will be about discipleship development and making leaders out of the discipleship process. So those are the two workshops. One will be a conference and the other one will be a workshop. So we have the two. And I really challenge people, invite people to come. And I say challenge because it's a challenge to really follow the Holy Spirit and make disciples. There's no way you can do that without the Holy Spirit.
I've already kind of picked up on some things that you've said, but I wonder if you could just tell about for you what makes Fresh Expressions such a a natural fit for your ministry and your, you know, philosophy of making disciples?
Okay, well, number one, and let me go slow in this one. The context of Hispanic and Latino ministry in the United States, you have people with low education, very illiterate people. Most of the Hispanic that come to the United States are not the very educated ones. You know, people living in farms, people living in rural areas, and they come to the United States. That's the biggest bulk of people. So low education, low in finances. They make $5-7 per hour. They move a lot. They don't trust institutions because of immigration and persecution. So they don't trust institutions. You know, you also have the instability, a factor that I mentioned before. We have, you know, all the other needs, but by domestic violence and substance abuse, and you have all of that. However, the Hispanic people are a communal community. That means that if you go to a church where you have 20 Americans in membership, and you go to that church, you see 20 cars in the parking lot. Okay, if you go to a Hispanic church, and you know that is very communal, you go and you see 20 cars in the parking lot. In the parking lot, when you go inside, you have 200 people inside. Okay, they really, you know, we really love to be together. So you see, the cars are packed. You know, like they sacrifice luxury for community. And you see that also in the apartments. They come together and they live together in apartments. Two or three generations, they come together to live in one apartment or one house. So first expression, number one, is very low in cost. I mean, you are just sent. It's very missional. You go there, you start connecting people, you know, creating community. You serve them, you teach them, you start worshiping. And if it grows, you organize yourself into a church. But it's very low cost. When you're going to plant churches with the philosophy of ministry that we have for church planting in the United States, very expensive. You need salary for the pastor. You need salary for a worship coordinator. And then you need a children's coordinator. And then you need, you know, ushers. And then you need instruments. And then it's crazy. By the time you finish, you spend $200,000. Easy. Okay, and with $200,000, I can plant 2,000 churches. You know, so this model is only works in America. You know, when I said it only works in America, I'm saying for a season, because the season is running out, the money is running out, people are not giving the same way they used to give. Okay, and we have so the Holy Spirit will force us to think in new ways of doing church. And fresh expression is just that. It's a new way of being very missional, very contextualized. You go to places where the people are, you have to meet them where they are, you need to be creative, you need to make friends. You know, you cannot fail. You cannot fail. I mean, and the thing that I really love about fresh expression is the opportunity. I mentioned that before, the opportunity for the laity, the opportunity for the church members to exercise their gifting. They don't need a trained pastor, a trained professional to lead a fresh expression. Anyone can lead one. And I like this. It's a faceless, nameless ministry. You know, and you cannot get more kingdom than that. So it's not about salaries. It's not about positions. It's not about influence. It's not about being the big star, you know, on TV. So you're going to be in the community. You really have to be full of the first love of Christ to join the movement of fresh expression. And that's what I love. And that's why I'm committed to expand it even more, because we have been thinking of ways of reaching the Hispanic community. And if you go to the conferences, the United Methodist conferences across the United States, all the bishops, all the district superintendents, all the new church development directors, all of them are crazy with the Hispanic ministries and the African American ministries and the Korean ministry, because they have been investing thousands and thousands of dollars and nothing seems to get track. And then because they don't have the money, they put the plug. And they put the plug on churches because they cannot pay a salary, they cannot pay a building, they cannot pay rent, they cannot pay insurance, and then they start pulling the plug on churches. And I'm talking about churches with 25 people in it, 35 people in it, 40 people in it. They cannot pay for the burden of the ministry that we have imposed on them, and they put the plug. Guess what? If you have a fresh expression, you don't need all that. You don't need all this red tape that we put together, and we can move out of that instead of pulling the plug. That's my challenge and my invitation to conferences, especially in the Methodist churches, but also other people. You know, just let's create a fresh expression. You know, anything can be a fresh expression. You know, it's very different faces. You know, it's different faces of ministry. You can do anything. If you like football, let's do a fresh expression in football. If you like tacos, let's do a fresh expression around a taco truck. You know, Satan cannot stop that. He goes crazy. He's expecting for a one way of doing it, and he's crazy trying to chase him us. Yeah. We can create one out of anything.
Yeah. So, yeah, just to echo what you're saying, if you were planting a traditional church, well, you got to at least rent some space. You gotta have somebody. Somebody's gonna preach. Somebody's gonna do music. Because that lasts so long, you gotta have some childcare for children to go to during that time. It gets very complicated and very expensive really quick. Whereas with Fresh Expression, you have some people over to dinner, or like you said, you meet at the taco truck, or you play soccer together, or something like that, which really costs no money at all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I love about this. Simple. I'm always focused on simple, fast, scale fast, you know, dream big, scale fast, you know, and that's what I like, simple. And I think that the gospel is simple. We are the ones complicating the gospel. Jesus never complicated the gospel, you know. So that's what I like about Fresh Expression. It's very simple. Simple. But you need a lot of love and passion for the community to do it, but it's simple. Anyone can do this.
So I know that your church also, in addition to your 400 members, you also have 100 home churches. How do those work with your church? And it seems like that may have at least taken a page from this Fresh Expressions page book.
Yes. Well, our focus is the community. So we are always sending people to the community, and we move where the Holy Spirit is moving. And when I say that, I mean that if you come to our church and you are from the south part of town, well, we train you real fast and send you back to where you are to start the health church, you know, a Fresh Expression church. And then we have also cities around Lexington, Richmond, Berea, Moorhead, Winchester. In all those cities, we have also Fresh Expression houses running, because people show up and they say, "Oh, I'm here, I love it," and then we train that person and send them back to their town, and we start Fresh Expression right there. So that's what we do, and that's our main focus, with this balance between, again, temple and the community, temples and community houses. But we do it in houses, but they also do it on different in restaurants, you know, or soccer fields, in a place like that. And now we have trained the second generation Hispanics, which, you know, they all speak English. They look Hispanic, but they are in the English culture, immersed in the English culture. They speak English, they think in English. So our youth, and they are, you know, 15, 14, 16, 17, they took this last year we started. Now we have like 40 youths, and they are doing this like in 5 houses around the city, and they are growing, multiplying, and now they are going into the schools to do the same thing in the elementary school and the high school. So they want to do that now in the schools, after lunch, after practice, after, you know, and it's going getting crazy. So it's a movement, you cannot stop it. And I like the things that I cannot control. I like the things that I cannot name and say how many. I drink with the day when you ask me how many house churches you have led, and I will say, I don't know. Yeah. How many baptisms do you have last year? I don't know. You know, how many disciples have you trained or formed? I don't know. That's the perfect answer for the movement. If you can count them, it's not a movement.
Yeah, okay. Something the Holy Spirit's in charge of.
That's right, you know.
Well, I'm so glad to hear all of this from you. You know, I think a lot of times a bunch of well-meaning white people will develop some kind of philosophy or way of doing church, and they don't realize that it really only works for their own context. So I guess part of the beautiful thing about Fresh Expressions is it's all about church for whatever particular context people are in. And so I'm so happy to hear how the Hispanic church is really flourishing.
So can you be more, a little bit more specific in your question?
Yeah, well, it's not really a question. Just I'm happy to see that the principles of Fresh Expressions are just as applicable to the Hispanic community as they are to any other. Is that the case?
Yes. You know, because it's, that's the that's the thing, that when you focus on kingdom, you will not fail.
Mm.
You know, kingdom demands, and when I say kingdom, I'm talking about like the essence of the gospel and the essence of presenting the gospel. When you go that way, cannot go. It's impossible for you to go wrong. It would apply to whatever culture you go. It's just a matter of finding the right people, the right leaders to carry the vision. It's not about anything else. Because making disciples, you have to make disciples. If you are Chinese, if you are in Africa, if you are in China, or you are in Europe, you have to make disciples. Open your mouth and sharing the gospel. Hmm. You have to do that in any language. You have to open your mouth. If you don't open your mouth, the gospel will not be shared. You cannot just make signs and make tattoos and expecting people to receive Christ with your tattoos or your a sign. You have to, you know, you have to open your mouth. You have to make friends. You have to be friendly. You have to show yourself. You have to make friends, connect with people. No matter what culture it is, you have to do that. You know, you have to do that. Using the Bible as the main, as your authority for what you're saying, you have to do that. You cannot substitute the Bible with 10 books from the Christian story. Mm. I mean, I'm a book author, and I'm saying to you, if your discipleship, your spiritual formation depends on the books that you're reading from the bookstore, you will be lost in the next 5 years. Something will happen that will hit you so hard that you won't remember who was the author you read. So we really have to go back to the scriptures, you know, the Bible, the foundation of every movement. Wherever you see a movement, the Bible is at the root and the foundation of it. You cannot remove the Bible, substitute the Bible for anything else. I don't care who, you know, what books you are using. And it becomes expensive, you know.
That's true.
Because then you have to buy stuff, right?
Yeah.
If you go to places where people don't have money, how can you buy a book, you know? So you have the Bible. It costs $1 in Amazon. Okay?
That's right.
So we need to do more and more. And that's what I like about, go back again to first impression. The material that we have is so simple, you know, that you don't have to, you have just 3, 4, 5 pages, just little skinny books, you know, that you just go through it real fast. You know, the books that we have from the, you know, before that, oh my goodness, you need to sit down and grab, you know, lunch and dinner, because it would take forever.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, Dr. Alvarez, thank you so much for taking the time and sitting down and talk with me.
Yes, sir. I'm here to serve. And this is a very neat way of spreading the gospel. I love it. And first time I do this.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, check out freshexpressionsus.org. And also check out the National Gathering coming up in March 15th through 17th, at steepletostreet.org. And remember, Fresh Expressions has a free gift for Seminary Dropout listeners. It's an ebook. You can go get that at freshexpressionsus.org/how-to-start. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Seminary Dropout. Remember, you can find all the show notes for this show and all shows at shaneblackshear.com. Oh, and hey, have you ever thought about starting your very own podcast? I bet you have, and I think you should do it. In fact, I've created a course just for you to teach you everything that I've learned over the last couple of years producing Seminary Dropout. So if you're interested in podcasting and want to learn how, go check out my course. You can go there by typing in podcastingforeveryone.org. And you can get a special discount by typing in the discount code SeminaryDropout, all one word. That'll give you 25% off. So go check it out. If you have any questions, let me know. Okay. Thanks to those that left ratings and reviews on iTunes this week. Remember, that keeps the show front and center. Also, remember, you can find me on Twitter at @beardonabike. That's at Beard on a Bike. Also, I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/ShaneBlackshear123. And remember that Seminary Dropout is listener supported. You can visit supportseminarydropout.com and press Become a Patron. Remember, this music you're listening to right now is by D.L. Rossi. You can find him online on iTunes and at dlrossi.com. All right, thanks again for joining me for another episode of Seminary Dropout. Stay tuned for next week's episode. Love you. Take care. Yeah,